Louise McSharry on 2FM.
Now, though, it is time for us to talk about the news. We are joined by the one and only political correspondent for the Irish Examiner, also known as the Beyonce of Derry. It's Aoife Moore. Hello, Aoife.
Hello. I laugh every time. It never gets old.
I can't stop. It's a fitting nickname for you. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, good. I'm leaving the county today. I'm very excited.
Oh, get away. Where are you going?
Wexford.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, it's a place where I would normally go like lots of times, like probably 6 times a year. But it hasn't been that way now in recent times.
We went there for our staycation last year and it was beautiful.
It is beautiful.
To Wexford.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Okay, we've got a lot to talk about. Let's get the nuts and bolts of COVID out of the way first. The numbers, the vaccinations, what's going on there?
Yeah, so the head of the HSE said the country is in a really strong position heading into the bank holiday weekend, so that's good. Over 500 cases yesterday, and I know people have been talking a lot about Limerick, so I think we should talk a wee bit about Limerick. So Limerick's having a bit of bother this week. They've had a really high incidence. There's been a bit of a COVID-19 surge. There was an emergency meeting last night with local councillors, some TDs, the Minister of State, the Health Minister and the CMO. Basically, they said that Limerick will not go into a local lockdown, but it's not off the table. So they've asked people basically to be really safe and really smart this weekend. They reckon the surge has actually come from people meeting indoors. There was some chat about people going to work. The Minister of State said yesterday some builders had got COVID-19. So right. Basically the CMO just said, listen, don't be dropping your guard. We are rolling out the vaccination program. Things are going really well. Mm. And I think everyone, you know, with the good weather, you know, people are vaccinated now as well. So they've just asked the people, you know, be safe, meet outdoor, mask if you're not sure. But they're going to leave local lockdown for now. But apparently the CMO said
sorry to interrupt you. Your line is not playing ball. I'm interrupting you. Your line is not playing ball. So I think we'll try and get you back on the phone now, if that's okay. Okay, it's always the way now. We had a good run there. I was actually saying to my husband last weekend, we had a really good run there where we had a good few weeks where the technology actually worked. Hello, Aoife.
Hello, what's the crack?
She's back. Okay, so yeah, I know what you were saying. You were saying just, you know, be careful because it's not over yet.
Yeah, definitely. If you're wear your mask if you're not sure is the abiding advice for now.
Okay. Now we have to talk about outdoor summer. We have to talk about bins and toilets, and we also have to talk about what happened in Dublin City Centre last night. So I don't know where you want to start with that.
Did you ever think we'd be so excited about portalies? I have never talked about portalies as much in my life.
Yeah.
The good news is 150 portally toilets and more than 100 bins are going to be added to Dublin City. So we've all seen, you know, the scenes on South William Street. We talked about it for a very long time at the start of the week. People are being told they have an outdoor summer and basically there is just not enough amenities around Dublin City Centre. So they're adding bins and toilets because, to be honest, in my opinion, this should have been done a year ago, but better late than never. Mm-hmm. So people have been drinking, pubs are doing takeaway pints. So the plan is, if we're going to have an outdoor summer, there needs to be the facilities to facilitate an outdoor summer. So we're getting bins, we're getting toilets. It's the same in Cork, it's the same in Galway. Mm. And basically the feeling is, you know, if we give people, you know, the facilities to have an outdoor summer, it's going to be safer for everyone. So Dublin Lord Mayor Hazel Chew said that these things are going to be, I think she said there was going to be 54 large bins added to Dublin City Centre. And I'm sure everyone saw the video of the bandstand in St. Stephen's Green. So the bandstand was fenced over, which I would argue is a temporary fix for, you know, a problem that needs to be fixed. Mm. People took away the barriers and were kind of, I don't know what the word to use, partying. partying in the bandstand. My major issue wasn't that they took the barriers away, it was how close they were all standing to one another. Mm. So yeah, the feeling is like everyone's trying their best, and fencing off public places to me is not the answer. But if places are fenced over, I would argue just leave the fence where it is. But they are going to add the things that we need now to have an outdoor summer. So I think, you know, better, as I said, better late than never. And, you know, it's all over Dublin, Temple Bar, Smithfield, Merrion Square. And there's going to be all these things added. So just to keep people outside. And that's the videos are annoying, but I don't know how worthy or practical it is to keep arguing with people about how they act outdoors. So I think, you know, telling people to be outdoors, and everyone was talking about the man who appeared on RT during the week with two pints in his hand, saying, you know, the government keep telling us to be outside, and then when we're outside, they're telling us we're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So it's good to get buy-in from both the government and the councils so that people can actually be safe outdoors.
It does seem like things kind of crossed a line last night in Dublin City Centre, though, with reports of, you know, a Garda being injured and people being arrested, five juveniles being arrested. That's not great.
It's absolutely not great. And the issue is they're saying that it might get a bit more controlled when the pubs open, even for outdoor drinking, because the pubs then have, you know, a responsibility to keep everyone safe and they're seated. The issue with people being outside is that, you know, you can just roam around outside. It's different when you're in a bar because that's where you are. Mm. And obviously you need to have ID, you need to be 18, things like that. So the outdoors element, it's fine for keeping people safe, but I don't know how long we could do it in the long term because it's so uncontrolled.
Mm. Yeah, it's really hard. Like, I saw some videos of last night and, you know, it looked scary, to be honest. It didn't look safe and it didn't look nice. And, you know, I just thought it was a real shame. Like, I feel like the whole issue of young people, people who are under 18, who won't be able to sit outside a bar and drink, but who still want to socialize, you know, kind of needs to be addressed, because what they would previously have done, hang out in someone's house, like, that's not an option.
Yeah, so, what are they supposed to do?
Yeah, there needs to be some kind of, there's a lot of pent up energy there, you know, and understandably, and people are finishing school and all that. But I feel like someone needs to do some joined up thinking about, you know, what kind of can be organized or suggested or whatever for teenagers to do. And that is safe, because, yeah, last night just did not look good. Okay, now let's talk about the HSE cyber attack. Where are we with that?
Oh my God, the more I read about this, the more annoyed I get. So the chief of the HSE, Paul Reid, basically said this week that he said it was a trail of devastation, that this cyber attack has left the HSE working as if it was 30 or 40 years ago. So they said that they are doing workarounds and it's being managed, but it's still, you know, completely awful. And the more I think about it, is like, the Irish government didn't even pay the ransom, so this has all been pointless. You know, like, the hackers didn't get anything out of it. They just took down the HSE computer system for really no reason in the middle of a pandemic. So basically, some good news is they've made good progress. Things like radiology, their laboratories are up and running, radiotherapy, oncology, they're all coming back. Things like Temple Street Children's Hospital, Crumlin's Children's Hospital have all come back. But again, this is really long-term damage that they have done, and people are, nurses, doctors are still using pen and paper. And it's just, it's so devastating. Like, the more I talk about it, the more annoyed I get. But private hospitals are apparently part of the solution. They're being really helpful because they had their own systems. The HSE said they will get out the other side of it, but we really can't imagine the devastation that it's had. And we'll be talking about this, I think, for the next year or so.
I think you're right. It's the pointlessness of it all. Like, literally no one benefited from this. There's only loss. Like, it's just so stupid. But I hope it means that we will up our defences in terms of these kind of cyber attacks for future. Now, let's talk about what went on this week in terms of mother and baby homes.
Yeah, so I'm sure a lot of people have been reading about this. My colleague, Elaine Loughlin's done amazing work on this in the Irish Examiner. But the commissioner of the Mother and Baby Homes report, Professor Mary Daly, she was asked to appear before an Oireachtas committee when the report came out, and she refused. So no one has heard her speak. The first time she did speak was this week, and it was like a Zoom seminar for Oxford University. It has really upset survivors of mother and baby homes. Her tone, they said, was not acceptable. She said that the evidence that survivors were called on to give, she then said, because it was given in private, that it was discounted. She said that it didn't meet robust legal standards of evidence, which is why it wasn't, you know, taken into consideration in the report. She then kind of hit out and said that people had, I'm using quotes here, the nerve to question the commission's findings. And she said that she came up against serious pushback. This entire thing has been heartache for survivors from start to finish. And for this to happen, to hear this through the newspapers instead of the proper channels, which I would argue would be an Oireachtas committee, is so devastating for people. These are, you know, especially people who are, a woman who works at the Irish Examiner just got her birth certificate for the first time this week. She's 53 years old. So to hear this in a seminar rather than, you know, an Oireachtas committee or from the professor herself in a normal setting, I honestly, like, we have dealt with survivors this entire week and they are just so obsessed by it. The tone, they just said, was not appropriate. Claire McGettrick, who's a survivor, said to us that it was impossible to adequately convey what has happened. Mm-hmm. She just said that she was so devastated by it. And I think the Mother and Baby Homes report, as much as the good it did to get the word out there of what actually happened, survivors felt very shortchanged. Mm. And I think this is just another chapter in that book. And I think we have really let these people down.
I think that quote that you said there, that she said that people have the nerve to question the report, that's truly shocking, especially when you consider that so many of the people who have survived and who are still alive are people who are living with the damage caused by their experiences. And actually summoning up the nerve to speak out and to question and to talk about their experience is an achievement, not to be spoken mm-hmm. about with scorn.
Yeah, we're talking about people who had, you know, pharmaceutical companies tested on these children without consent of parents because they didn't have parents. And then, you know, the report itself said, you know, there was questionable evidence about whether the homes were abusive when people had come to the commission and gave their evidence to say how abused they were, and then they said it was questionable. So, you know, of course people are going to question the report because yeah. it doesn't really include their evidence. And then she said that they couldn't include their evidence because it was given in private. So why summon these people?
Yeah.
They tear their hearts out and give the most private, you know, information to these people to then discount it. The whole thing has just been another sorry chapter in how Ireland treats women and children who are not considered, you know, legitimate or whatever other terrible word we had for them then.
Yeah, yeah, it's awful. Before I let you go, Aoife, talk to me about what's happening in terms of America and vaccine doses being provided for countries who are struggling to get their vaccination programs up.
Yeah, this is really good news. The US is donating 25 million doses overseas. So it's called the COVAX program, and basically it's where richer countries in the world give away vaccines to so-called poorer countries. So Joe Biden said that he's going to give 25 million doses. Now, America, a lot of these vaccines are produced in America, so that's why they have them to give. They said, I was reading a story that basically an official said, yeah, this is good, but we should have done it a while ago. Better late than never. So they're sharing their vaccines to save lives. They've already given quite a lot of vaccines to Mexico. They've already given quite a lot to India. So they're going to send over 60 million doses by the 4th of July. And it'll be a mix of Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. And basically, no one is safe until we're all safe.
Yeah.
So this can only be a good thing. I used to live in Malawi, and I still have friends there, and their vaccine rollout is incredibly slow. Malawi is a landlocked country that has loads of borders with other African countries. And as I say, no one is safe until we're all safe. So this is only a good thing.
Well, isn't it great to end on some good news, Aoife?
Yeah.
And thank you so much, Aoife Grace. No, Aoife Moore. Jeez, I just can't stop.
You need to get
Aoife Moore, political correspondent from the Irish Examiner and the Beyonce of Derry. I hope you have a lovely week, Aoife.
You too.
Thanks
bye.
A million. Bye. Louise McSherry on 2FM.